also with that cordless mic, you know. There is a song that we sang in Sunday school, our Sunday school. I don't know if you sang it in your Sunday school, but it went something like this. And if you know it, sing along with me. Master, go with me. Master, go with me. Master, go with me until I see your face. Do you remember something like that? Master, go with me. Master, go with me until I see your face. I don't want to stop there. I don't want to stop there. I don't want to be misdirected there. I want to keep on being on focus until I see your face. Amen. Master, go with me. Master, go with me. Master, go with me until I see your face. And then there was something like, even if it means, you know, no? Even if it means to suffer, even if it means, you know, being denied, even if it means being left alone, Master, go with me. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's such a great honor to be in this service again, you know, to share the word of God with us. We were not here last Sunday, but wherever we were blessed. And I heard that it was such a blast of a Sunday, and so we missed it. Why don't you just look at your neighbor and see if they look the same way you saw them last week? If they are not, tell them, you know, you look much better than you look than you looked last week. Francis, you're not telling anybody. Oh, God is so good. So let me start with this joke that I was reading the other day, and it was so funny. I thought I should share it with you. So this particular church, what they've done is that they had put names of people who had died in service. And so one Sunday morning, the pastor noticed little Johnny was staring up at a large plaque that hung in the foyer of the church. The young man of 7 had been staring at the plaque for some time. So the pastor walked up and stood beside him, and gazing up at the plaque, he said quietly, "Good morning, son." "Good morning, pastor," replied the young man, not taking his eyes off the plaque. Then he said, "Sir, what is this?" "Well," the pastor said, "these are all the people who have died in the service," replied the pastor. Soberly, they stood together, staring up at the plaque, reading the names. Little Johnny's voice barely broke the silence when he asked quietly, "Which one, sir? The 10:30 or the 12 o'clock?" So his mind was that these people had died in the Sunday service, not while they were serving the country. I know some things just pass us. This morning I'd like to share about taking responsibility. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I just get tired of hearing people who don't take responsibility over their life, over their things, but they are so ready to blame the other person. They are so ready to blame everything else but themselves. "I am okay. It has nothing to do with it. It was so-and-so, it was so-and-so, it was so-and-so." But this morning, I just want to encourage you and tell that, you know, you need to take responsibility over your life. God created you. And he created you for something bigger than you can imagine. Something bigger than you can even, that you cannot limit yourself to anything. If you had the same insight that God had when he was creating you, he created you that you may be able to worship him. Remember, it was in the beginning. The earth had no form. There was nothing. And God started by saying, "Let there be." And there was. And then he took the time and molded and made and formed a creature that became you and me. And this creature was given responsibility. Yesterday I was talking to my son about the biggest job that man was ever given, to name animals. You know, it sounds like it's easy. But think for a moment for those of you who are parents. Supposing that child that you gave birth to was not just one. Say, for example, there were 5 of them at a go, or 6 of them at a go, or even 12 of them at a go, because these things do happen. You have, the greatest responsibility will be to name them. So you start wondering now, how will I even name these things? Fortunately, today we have the internet. That time there was no internet to look for names. So, but this man, the biggest job that he ever had was to start naming these animals. Because God trusted him. God knew that I can trust you to do a good job. God cannot give you a responsibility that you cannot be able to perform, even over your own life. Now let's run quickly to what happened to these men. God saw that this man was actually getting bored and lonely, and he was becoming hopelessly useless. He was just staying in one place doing nothing. And God said, we need to do something about this guy. So God goes back to his manufacturing plant, and he forms another creature. Hi, baby. And he forms another creature. But this time, because he has already made the first creature, he forms now a second creature. But this creature is different. This creature has the capacity to contain a higher memory than the other one. It's a higher version. It's like the you know, Pastor, you remember the old computers? They could only take such so much memory. But then now, when God created this creature was able to sustain more memory. This creature was able to multitask. The first creature was not able to multitask, just name. And the guy started there, he said, Duya. And he got all the names, elephant, said giraffe, he said lion, and gave all the names. He could only do one thing at a time. So when God saw the limitation of this guy, he said, you know what, I'm going to make a helper. Because I see the limitation of this guy, I'm going to make somebody else to help him. And so this person came now, a supermodel, you know, like, you know, everything. Maybe it was a hybrid version, you know, anything. It's newer. It's a 2.0 or a 3.0 or a version 9, whatever you want to call it. But it was much, let's face it, man, it was much better than the original creation. The creature was able to do much, much more than the other creature was able to do. But the responsibility was not taken away from the first creature. The responsibility was not taken away. Oh, my goodness. We are getting somewhere. And so when you look at yourself as somebody where God took time to create you, to make you who you are. The same way that you are, he took time and he made you exactly the way he wanted you to be. Exactly the way he wanted you to be. He has your destiny. He has your map. If you can't multitask, that's fine. You're probably a man. If you can multitask, that's okay, because you're female. You're a woman. That's how God created you, and that's the way it should be. Now, here's the thing. With the responsibility that God has given us, with what the way God has created us, we have a responsibility. Let me reframe that. With the way God has created us, he has given us a responsibility. The life that we have, it is our responsibility. I get sick and tired of hearing us sometimes saying that it is God's will. Everything that you have no explanation to, it is God's will. You keep on eating those burgers every day, every morning, you become sick, you say, it is God's will. Everything you do, sodas every day, you become sick, you say, it is God's will. When do you take responsibility over your life? When do you start saying that this is where it stops? I have been given a responsibility over my life. Now, I know as I say this, I'm going to step on somebody's toes, and I sincerely do apologize. But please take the word of God the way it is. But it's about time that we took responsibility of our own life. God has given you a responsibility over your life. And it is time that you took it seriously. Hey, baby. You have choices. If you live your life on the high road, then expect repercussions. If you're a high-strung person, expect ridicule. If you're a jealous person, expect a friendless life. If you're a thief, expect time in prison. Take responsibility over your life. If you're going to keep on stealing, you're going to end up somewhere in a jail. If you drive 200 miles an hour, expect an accident. If you keep on eating junk, expect to be sick. That's the nature, the law of nature. It cannot change. That's the way it is. God does not change, and God is not going to change because of you. God is not going to change his deity, his attribute as this, the mighty God, so that he can be able to make himself to conform to our inadequacies. It's us who are going to change and say, this is how God wants me to be. This is the life that I want to live. But that's not the end. As you take responsibility, there is one challenge that I want to throw to you this morning. When you know that something is really hurting you, when you know that something is really wrong in your life and you need to do something about it, then don't stop at anything. Don't stop at anything until you have a breakthrough. Don't stop at anything until you have a breakthrough. We are people who are created with choices, and often we make wrong choices and things happen to us. But you can still go back and say, and reevaluate your life and say, I have made wrong choices. I need to go back and start making right choices. And start making right choices. And see them, see what those right choices are going to do to your life, to your body, to your mental faculties, to your work relations, to whatever it is that you're doing. See how they're going to change you. So this morning, I have three stories that I want to share with you. And the first story is a story that you know very well. And so I'll just mention the verses because you know the story. You can go and read the stories when you go home. And the first one is this, the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. The woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Suppose for a moment. This is a woman of means because the Bible says that when she had these issues of blood for 12 years, she tried everything. Probably if it was today, she would have seen the specialties or whatever they are called, the doctors, whoever they are. She would be referred to the who is who in Harvard or in MD Anderson or Baylor Hospital and that kind of a thing. But they had no answer. They couldn't manage her situation. They couldn't manage her situation. Now, you know as much as I do know that if you start losing blood, you're losing life. If you don't stop that gap, you're losing life. It's just a matter of time. And this woman knew that. But let me tell you, I thank God for people who give testimonies. I sincerely do thank God for people who give testimonies. Because when people give testimonies, somebody hears that testimonies of how the Lord healed her or somebody else and takes on that word and believes on it and makes that word their anchor and said, God, if you could do it for so and so, I know you could do it for me. Remember, this is in the olden time, and the Jews, if you had an issue of blood, especially like, let's not go into those details. There are a time that you could not be allowed to be with the men because this was an area that was dominated by men. When Jesus was going around, the women had to stay in their own place. So when there's a period that women could not be allowed to mingle with men because they just couldn't, that's the way it is. Like the song we sang, it's just the way it is. You can't change it. That's just the way it is. Worse still, when you are sick, so you can imagine, it's not just for a period of time. It is for an extended period of time. The theologians tell us that this particular woman was actually separated from her husband. Because if you stay in that condition over an extended period of time, you are cast aside. You are cast away. And so she was cast away from her home. She couldn't relate. She couldn't stay there. She was thrown away from her family. You know, just go and manage your own life. And so I can imagine this woman walking around going everywhere. She has spent all the money she has. She doesn't have money anymore. All that she wants is to be healed. All that she wanted was to be healed. Ask yourself this question. How did she know that Jesus was the healer? Somebody must have told her. She must have overheard people testifying. She must have heard people saying, oh man, I was blind. Or do you remember that blind man? Jesus walked there and put mud on his eyes and told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And you know what? That man is healed. Would you believe it? Maybe she went somewhere and she heard, you know what? There was this man who was brought through the roof and Jesus prayed for him and he is well. You know, this Jesus, he is not a joke. He's a healer. He is a healer. He really does heal. She had a testimony. She had somebody testifying. She had somebody talk of the saving grace of God. And when she had it, she told herself, that's my answer. That is where I'm going to go. I love this woman because this woman, she was like, you know, I don't need the whole man. I know he has power within him. I know there is power through in this man, but if I can only touch the hem of his garment, that power, that garment that is covering his body, if I can just touch that hem of that garment, I will be made whole. Oh, the power of a testimony. The power of a testimony. It transformed this woman's life. She took that word and she ran with it. You know, she didn't go and make an announcement and say, oh, you all know that I've been having an issue of blood for all these years, but you know, today I'm deciding to go and meet Jesus. No. It was personal. She had it. She knew the pain herself. She decided, it does not matter who says what about me. I am going. Now, she broke all the laws available. She knew she shouldn't go there. She went. She knew she could be, they were like, come on, you're the one who has an issue of blood. You can't come. She went on. She pressed on. She pressed on. Let me tell you, when you're pursuing your miracle, when you're pursuing for your miracle, there will be resistance. Oh, come on now. When you're going for your miracle, there'll be people who will be pushing you astray and telling you, no, 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 you go the other side. Did not here. Don't enter through this door. Go through the other one. Say, no, I will enter through this one. And she pushed herself and she sneaked through. I can see her crawling and standing and doing all those kind of gymnastics because she had one goal. She wanted to not to touch the man, to touch the garment, just the garment, a piece of cloth, and they would not allow her. Pastor, I have a problem with the Wazewa Kanisa. Because sometimes what happens, the people judge you because of what they see. They see you and they despise you. They don't know where you've come from. They don't know what the troubles you've carried through. They don't know that you're going to meet your miracle. They don't know that you're going to receive your miracle. But the elders of the church, the Wazewa Kanisa, they say, oh, no, 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 you can't go near the pastor. You know, thank God we don't do that in this church. You know, thank God we don't have guards here guarding the pastor. You know, but there are places you've gone, and do you know what I'm talking about? That they will stop you from meeting the minister. You know, oh, no, no, this is a holy man. You know, you just can't, he's holy. And they were stopping this woman from getting her miracle. But she was unstoppable. What I know today, those people who receive their miracles, they are the unstoppable people. If you're going to be stopped by what people say, you'll not receive your miracle. If you're going to be stopped by saying, only if you have an appointment, you know, enter only if you have an appointment. If you're going to be stopped by those notices, you will never get your miracle. If you're not pained enough, if your pain is not so strong enough to urge you to move on, you'll never get your miracle. But if you're so disturbed and saying that, you know, I have had it. 12 years is 1 year too long. I will move on, baby. I will move on towards my miracle. I will push on until I get my miracle. Praise the Lord. Amen. Desperate people do desperate things. When you've been pushed to the edge, you're going to do something very desperate. You're going to do something that people will wonder, eh, never yoshio. People will start wondering what got into her, what got into him. You know, men, we are very organized. You know, you do things, you know, in an orderly manner. And so you want to make sure that things are done in an orderly manner. But let me tell you, the Bible reminds me that when this woman had this issue, there was no man that was surrounding Jesus that was strong enough to stop her. Oh, God is so good. Stop hanging on rhetorics. Stop hanging and saying, oh, no, this is the will of God that I be this way. So God is giving me strength. You know, I'll carry on. I will push on. Oh, stand up, my sister. Stand up, my brother. Push on for your miracle. Your miracle is waiting for you. Don't just sit there and say, you know, oh, this is God's will, you know. You know, God, this is the thorn. You know, we also say it is the thorn. You know, it is the thorn, like the thorn that, you know, Paul had. This is the thorn that God has given me. It is not the thorn. It's you who has called it a thorn. Press on and go for your miracle. Share your testimonies with one another because God has taken you through so much. God has delivered you. God has met you with, so, you know, God has met your needs in so many areas. Testify of God's goodness. When you testify of God's goodness, somebody is going to hear of that testimony and somebody will jack up and say, I am going for my miracle. Don't just keep quiet with your miracle. Don't just keep quiet of what God has done for you. Tell somebody. Tell somebody, tell of what God has done for you and move on. Somebody will take that word and go on and receive their miracle. Praise the name of Jesus. What she needed was not people to surround her, you know, and hold hands and tell her, okay, now kneel down. Where is the anointing oil? She didn't need all those dramas. All that she needed was to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. That's all she needed. Don't be stopped by anything. Not by your struggles, not internal things, not external things, but purpose. I am going for my miracle. I am going for my miracle. And that day when she touched the hem of Jesus' clothes, that day it brought an end to her suffering. 12 years of suffering. 12 years of shame. 12 years of being downcast, 12 years of being down looked upon, 12 years of being the story in every household, 12 years of being pointed at, 12 years of being rejected. Just that one thing. My question to you, beloved, are you willing, are you ready to forego everything else and say, I want my miracle? I don't know if you're me, but if you're like me, but when I want something and I focus it in my mind, oh, I will sleep about it, I will wake, I'll be thinking about it, I'll be eating about it, almost every time I'm thinking about it, because I know that that's where God wants me to be. Let's press on. That was just about an illness. Healing of a chronic illness. Let's go to another scripture. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18 to 37. This is a story about the Shunammite woman, and I've talked about the Shunammite woman here before. Her story is very brief. This woman was not just an ordinary woman. She was a wealthy woman. She had her life together. You know, when women have their things together, you know, there is calmness in the house. Fine, you know what I'm talking about. There is calmness in the you know, things are working fine. You know, she's wealthy. She actually, the scripture says, Pastor, if you remember, that she tells, you know, when the man of God kept on coming and they would give him a place to sleep, she told the husband, let's make an extension. Let's build an extension for the man of God. She told the husband, let's make an extension. So the husband, she had a husband. You know, and the husband was a good husband, because when the wife told him to go and make an extension, he actually went and made an extension for the man of God. And because of the service that this man of God used to receive from the Shunammite woman, he decided to, you know, let's do something in return. Let's bless this woman. And so he went and asked her, you know, or he sent his servant Gehazi to go and find out, what can we do to this woman? And Gehazi comes with a report and says, you know, this woman is rich. She is wealthy. She has it together. And Gehazi goes and to ask this woman, what do you want? And she says, I don't want anything. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm all right. Oh, I love that answer. Goodness me. When you are blessed, don't hide. Just say, I'm blessed. Do you want anything? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. And then not doing was fine. But I'm all right. I'm all right. You know, I'm taken care of. You know, I really don't need anything. You know, we just want to bless you, man of God. Because sometimes, you know, we feel that, you know, when somebody does something, we humans, we believe that you want to repay. Every time somebody does something good to you, you don't have to. So this man of God went to repay, and the woman is like, no, don't bother. Really, I'm okay. It's nothing. It's really nothing. Oh, I love that word of God. And I pray that one day that God will give me that wealth so that as I bless people and someone wants to repay, I can say, no, I'm good. Praise the name of Jesus. But remember, this woman was during the time that children were so important in families. If you didn't have any child, then you're going to be cast aside. You could even have a risk of being divorced, because children, if you are married, you're being married into that family or to that home to produce children. That didn't come out right. You are being born to be giving children. Yes, you're being born in that family to be giving, you know, to be giving birth to children. If you don't have any children, you are a cast aside. Regardless of how much your husband loves you, it doesn't matter. The community will be saying, who? The one who can't give children? The one who can't give birth? Is that the one you're talking about? Do you remember Sarah? You know, in Abraham's Sarah? You know, and she got desperate, and she wanted a shortcut, because she said that, you know, her womb had been closed. And then, do you remember Hannah? You know, and Hannah, the same thing. And the only reason they wanted a child is not that they wanted a child. No, sometimes we want blessings, not because we want blessings, but you want blessings so that people can see us. You just want to be blessed so that you're not rejected, so that you're now equal with everybody else in the church here. So if everybody drives a Volkswagen, you, God bless me with a Volkswagen. Because, you know, in empowerment, everybody drives a Volkswagen. God bless me. Bless me with that Volkswagen. Because we are so mediocre. We are so physical in our seeing that we fail to see what God has created us for. And Hannah, her desire was just children. And she comes with a long face to the husband and says, no, why is your face so downcast? You know, I love you, but it's not about love. How do I look in the community? But this woman, Shunammite woman, was different. Her life was different. She may have been childless, but she was fine. She was okay. She was okay. Let's be content. In the path that we go through, there is something that God has planned for us. I was telling somebody the other day, if you believe sincerely that the Lord orders your footsteps, what it basically means today, this morning, is that you're where God wants you to be. Right now, you are right where God wanted you to be. If you didn't come to church and you went somewhere else, you are exactly where God wanted you to be. But if you that's if you believe that God orders your footsteps. So you're in the right place today. And if God orders your footsteps, then he knows what is the best thing for you. When Gehazi did his homework and found that this woman had no child, he went and told Elijah, this woman has no child. And so Elijah, even without asking, says, you know what? He didn't even pray for her. He prophesied over her. Next year, when I come, you will be having a baby. He says, I don't want a baby. I'm okay. I'm fine. We don't even know her age. We don't know any details. But she said, no, I mean, I don't want, it's not like that. You know, I'm fine. Let's fast forward. When the man of God came back the following year in 2 Kings 4:28, the son had not only been born, but he had been born, I think, not the next year, but the next cycle, as they call it. So it could have been 1 year, it could have been 2 years, could have been 3 years, because the man of God was going through that area. He was going around a certain region. So it was every time he goes through that region, he would meet with his woman, and that's where he'd actually reside. But when he went that time, this woman had the baby. The baby was with due to be a son. Well, the son was with the dad. The boy had a headache. Told him, you know, told her I could take him to the mother, you know, and then the son died. The son died. Pause for a moment. This woman never asked for the baby. The baby dies. And then you ask yourself, what was God thinking? And let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves, when God blesses you, and I know many of us have been blessed, if you can't think of any miracle, I can think of one right now. Getting a visa to come to this country. Many of you got visas and you prayed for those visas to come to this country. But when you came here, when you landed in this country, things were not how you expected them to be. Some of you have struggled from the time you landed in this country. And you've asked yourself, where is the miracle? I actually talked to one person, and I think I shared this testimony with some of you in the church. And this lady was telling me that, you know, she's still waiting to reach America. She has never reached America. She has never seen, you know, all these things that people talk about in America. She has never reached America. She's like that Shunammite woman. You've been given a blessing, and then it's like the blessing dies. Then you say, so what next? I love this Shunammite woman. She said, that man of God, it's me and him. She goes and she encounters him with the baby. The husband tries to stop her, you know. First of all, you need to read that story. She tells the husband, you know, saddle the donkeys for me. You know, whatever they were being called, not donkeys, but something else. But saddle them for me. You know, I want to travel. You know, saddle the donkey for me. I want to go. And says, but you know, are you sure? You know, just saddle it for me. You know, this woman was no nonsense. You know, when you're okay, oh, your word is powerful. When your life is okay, you know, you speak and you're heard. You say things and they are done. So she asked for this donkey to be saddled so she can go. And it was saddled because the man of God never came to her house that particular time. And she went pursuing over these men. She had one thing in mind. My miracle will not die. My miracle will not die. Oh, no. And she approached the man of God, 2 Kings 4:28. And said, did I ask for a son, my Lord? Did I ask? See, it's you who came with and said that I will have a son. Now, what is this? And I want to imagine, with all due respect, that the people who interpreted the Bible were being kind. Because I believe there was another exchange here that must have gone place. This woman was furious. For you to say, you know, saddle that donkey and you go with that donkey and you confront that man, and that all you're asking is that did I ask for this? There are other sentences that have been deleted, you know, because this is a holy book. You know, if your miracle really means so much to you, if that thing means so much to you, and it seems like it's dead, oh, let me tell you, take it. Go to God with it. Go to God with it. Don't give up. Don't say my life is over. Don't say, you know, maybe I should just go back. Maybe that's what God wants me to be. There's somebody was telling me that the other day. Maybe I should just go back to my country. Let me tell you, take that broken dream, take that dead dream, and go back to God with it and say, you know, look, it's like this. This is not what I asked for. The Bible reminds me that the blessings of the Lord, they make rich and they don't add any sorrow. Why is this sorrow right now? This is not what I asked for. This is not what I asked for. I asked for a blessing. This is not a blessing anymore. This is causing me more harm. This is causing me pain. This is causing me sorrow. This is not a blessing anymore. You've got to carry it back to where the source, where it came from. If it is a job that you've been looking for all this time, stop judging yourself so harshly and saying, maybe it's because I never did. It is time that you stood before God and told God, this is how it is. In Kenya or in whichever country, in wherever, it was like this. I had a job. You had blessed me. I had a business. You gave me a visa. If you wanted me to come to this country to suffer, you should have left me back home. This is not what I asked for. This is not the blessing I was looking forward to. Why are you afraid of your own creator? Let me tell you. You know, be confident. I embrace radical theology, by the way. I embrace radical theology. I embrace people who confront God. Not in anger or frustration, but it is because you know who your God is. That's what radical means to me. It means that I'm not going to stop at anything. It means that if something doesn't make sense to me and it is coming from God, I will go to God and ask God, what is this now? What does this mean? If I don't know, ladies are a bit nice, you know, so they'll do their things, you know, nicely. But for those of you who are married and you know your husbands, and the husband has tried to fix something and somebody's already smiling and that thing has refused to work, you know, how many of you know that sometimes that thing is dropped in anger? And he's the one who paid for it. He went to the store and paid for it. But he's so angry. He's tried, he fixes it, he doesn't. Goes and tries again, he tries and fixes it, it doesn't work. He tries again, it doesn't work. So in, oh, bang! And yet, maybe it had a warranty. All that you needed to do is to go back to the warranty holder and say, this thing is not functioning the way it was done. And says, oh, no problem, you know, we'll give you another new one. But because of anger and our limitations, you know, we crush them. God is so lenient with us. He's so lenient with us. But because this boy died, this woman decided, my miracle is not going to die. I will pursue, I will follow through until I get my miracle back. She wanted her miracle. Regardless of how long it took, she was ready to wait. She threatened the man of God. She told him, you know what? As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. That's a dangerous statement. He said, wherever you'll go, I am going. I have my degree here. Not degree, my donkey here. I have my donkey here. It has everything that I need. And you know, she was carrying the child who was dead. I mean, the child was dead. But she was carrying the child. If it was here, I don't know if it is child abuse because the child is already dead. But she was with the child. But she told this man, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this. Desperate people do desperate things. If you're so desperate for your miracle, get ready to do desperate things. Get ready to do desperate things. You know, quit, you know, coiling down and saying, oh, yeah, Lord, okay, it's all fine. It's all hallelujah. This is how the Lord wanted to be. Maybe God wanted me to be a minister here. Maybe God wanted me to just be coming to church and maybe just doing this. You know, those are very passive statements. It's time you started taking responsibility of your life and saying, this is what I believe. This is what I believe God brought me here for. And taking responsibility over your life. Proverbs 10:22, the blessings of the Lord, they make rich and they do not add any sorrow. Are you being blessed? Amen. I'm being blessed. Because I realize that there's one thing that sometimes may stop us from pursuing our miracle. And do you know what that is? Just look at your neighbor. Not me, your neighbor. That's the person. You really know what your miracle is? You really know what you should be pursuing, but that person, not necessarily the person you're looking, not necessarily Kate, you know, but the other person, you know, what will they think about me? What will they, when they see me desperate or doing these things. So what? It's my miracle. Yeah, it's my miracle. Pursue it. Pursue it. Pursue it. Nobody can pursue your miracle with the passion you have, because it's you who knows the pain of that passion, the death of that miracle. It's you who knows it. It's you who knows that pain. And that passion that you have, nobody else. You can't, even if you came and told me with tears, I can't cry the tears you've cried. It's only you who can pursue it. Thirdly and finally, John chapter 4, verse 3 to 42. It's a long story. But again, this is a story that we do know. It's a Samaritan woman. This Samaritan woman was delivered from destructive habits. So Jesus, this is very interesting. So Jesus is going to, I can't remember the exact places, but as he goes through, the Bible says he had to, it was like, you know, something that he could have avoided going through Samaria, but he goes through that city. He could have avoided, there was a way that was different that he would have gone through that, because in the olden times, Samaria was not a place that people wanted to go through. It was like a dejected city. If you said you're a Samaritan, Samaritan? You know, so it was rejected. It was a denounced city. So if you could avoid, you know, going to Samaria, you should go. You should pass by. Don't go through it. But Jesus had to go through it. And as I was reading this scripture, I was telling myself, if the only reason that Jesus had to go through Samaria was to encounter this woman, it was enough. It was enough. It also tells me one thing, that God understands my needs. God understands my troubles. God understands you more than you can actually imagine or think that he understands. And he will stop at nothing. He will stop at nothing to reach to your situation, to minister to your needs. We don't know much about this woman, but she was known in her community. We all know, you know, whether it is in this community here in the United States, in your neighborhood, or maybe back in the country, you know, there are those women that you know in the village. And they're not sometimes known for the good reason. It's not because they were very kind. It's not because they were such nice family people. They're known for bad reasons. She had 5 husbands. And we don't know why or how she had 5 husbands. Maybe she was divorced 5 times because she couldn't bear children. Again, remember, the environment is different. Or she was successfully inherited by brothers, and the brothers died successfully until she was now with the 5th one. You don't know. I'm trying to be nice to her. In all that we know is that she had 5 husbands. Oh, this is terrible. And even the one that she had that particular time was not hers. Even the one that she had that particular time was not even hers. One writer, her name is Shauna Bound, in her thesis, "Your Daughter Shall Prophesy," she suggests the following. Regardless of why the woman had 5 husbands, the implication is still that she is a woman who could not keep a man. So she was, and you know these women, because, you know, there's people talk about them, you know, maybe in the village, not here, in the village. You know, don't you know the, you know, who don't keep husbands? So this woman was known for all the wrong reasons. But when Jesus was passing, came by there, it was to be able to minister to her need. It was, and it goes back to what I said. If God, you believe that your steps are ordered by the Lord, you are in the right place. And I believe that this woman's steps were ordered by the Lord to be at the well when Jesus was at the well. She had a thirst that the husbands could not quench until she met Jesus. And then something else that dawned on me as I read this part, this scripture a couple of days ago, is that this woman, sometimes, you know, you read this part and you kind of just throw it aside and say she was just, you know, like an unknowledgeable woman, you know, a woman who didn't know anything, who didn't know anything better, you know, that kind of thing. This woman knew the scriptures. The conversation, the theology that she exerted and the exchange that she had with Jesus was not a simple theology. She knew what she was talking about. She was a woman of who was intelligent. So this was not just somebody, you know, like Kinabitris would say, Kirukanjia, you know, just somebody who just jumps from street to street. You know, this was somebody who was knowledgeable, who knew what she was talking about. She was not ignorant. She was a woman of faith. She knew her God. She knew her, that a Messiah was to come to judge the living and the dead. And when she heard Jesus speak to her situation, she immediately knew this is a prophet. She immediately knew this is a prophet. And she trusted him to give her a sip of the living water. You know, if you don't have any trust in the person who is giving you help, even if the person gives you help, it is useless. If you don't have trust, Pastor, in the person who is to give you help, you don't believe the person can give you help or adequate help, that help is useless. The Samaritan woman knew after the discussion, give me that water. Give me that water. I have been so thirsty. I need to quench my thirst. I need to drink from that well. I need to drink from your cup, not from my cup anymore. She realized that she cannot continue pursuing things on her own. She realized that whatever she has pursued was emptiness and vanity, and all that she needed was to encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, church, let me tell you this morning, when you encounter God, when you meet with God, your life will no longer be the same again. Your life is totally different. Stop at nothing to reach your miracle. Stop at nothing to reach what God has blessed. Because let me tell you, God did not create you to be a nothing. Imagine, nothing. So when somebody comes and tells you, no, you are nothing, he says, you haven't seen anything yet. Watch what God is doing in my life. Because I believe, and I'm not saying this as a rhetoric, I'm saying this because I believe this from the very depths of my heart. And if you don't believe it, I'm challenging you to use my faith. God is going to make you to be a somebody. God is, it's just a matter of time. It is just a matter of time. Pursue that dream. Pursue that goal. It is not dead. Hold it. Hold it and run to the master. Hold it and run to the master and tell the master, this is what I want. It should not be dead. I want it over my life. And so if you don't believe it, I want to prophesy over you today and tell you that there is something that God is doing over your life and tell you that it is just a matter of time. That thing that you've prayed for so long, it is going to happen. It is going to be because it is God who is speaking. It is not man. The same person that this woman could have looked at and said, oh, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we have no relationship. She could have denounced him, but she said, no, I will believe in this man. And she said, I want to drink of that water. If you're willing today, I challenge you to hold on to that dead dream, to hold on to that thing that you've so persistently pursued, and it looks like a mirage that every time you get near to it, it goes a little bit farther. It's like stunting you. It's like it's teasing you. But I challenge you today to purpose in your heart that I want my miracle. I want my miracle. Father, in the name of Jesus, I am praying right now, oh God, for somebody who is stretching their spiritual hands right now, knowing that, Lord, there are challenges in their lives. That, Lord, this word is just reaching to them, knowing that, Lord, there's so much emptiness in their lives and there's so much vanity, Lord. But I'm praying in the name of Jesus that, God, you may encounter them, Lord. Walk in their path today in the name of Jesus, that, God, they may find you. That, God, they may receive their miracle in the name of Jesus. When Jacob entered, encountered God, he started walking with a spring. If you remember Jacob, he encountered an angel. They struggled, said, I want you to bless me. Bless me now. Says, no, I can't. That was not my mission. Said, no, but I want you to bless me. And they wrestled the whole night. Until eventually the angel said, okay, I need to go back to heaven. Come on, Jacob, I need to go back to heaven. And when he was done with Jacob, Jacob's life was no longer the same. He started walking with a new spring. Let me tell you, church, when you encounter God, your walk will be different. You even start walking with a new spring. When Naaman listened to this girl from Syria, and he was told, go to Syria, there is a prophet there, and he will tell you what to do. Do whatever he tells you. And he was told, go and go to the River Jordan and immerse yourself there 7 times, and you'll receive your miracle. Naaman could have said no, but when he went and did as he was told, it was 7 times. Desperate people do desperate things. A whole general, a whole commander, 7 times. Getting in and looking like filth, and getting back again and looking like more filth, and getting like more filth. But the 7th time, when he showed up, his face was like that of a baby. He was like a newborn baby. When you encounter God, your life is no longer the same. Come on, church. When you encounter God, your life will no longer be the same again. He transforms you completely. He changes you completely. Never the same again. Never the same again. My challenge to you this morning is, don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. Take responsibility over the challenges that you have. Don't get tired of going to the cross. Be like this Shunammite woman who said, no matter how long it takes, I will keep persisting. I will keep persisting. It doesn't matter how long it will take. I will be right there. Until you get your miracle. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for those miracles that, Lord, you're releasing right now in advance in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for that healing. I thank you for that deliverance in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for those job opportunities, for those businesses that, Lord Jesus Christ, you're releasing, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus, and receive them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for those restorations that, Lord Jesus Christ, are working right now, Lord. Thank you for those workings that, Lord Jesus Christ, you're doing right now, Lord Jesus Christ, in the peripherals, Lord. For those reconciliations, the Lord, are happening right now, right now. We thank you, Jesus. For some, it will be now. For some, it will be tomorrow. For some, it will be a little wait, but it will happen. We thank you, Jesus, for your word this morning. In Jesus' name.